Lord God, we thank you for this story. We thank you for what you've been speaking to us through this story. And having heard all that we've already heard, Lord, will you just speak to us afresh? Speak into what you have been doing and speak into what you will be doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just to say, I'm going to do my rector's reflection now. And not at the end of the APCM meeting, because I thought you might be fresher to hear it. So I'm going to be a little bit longer than I might have been, but I'm not going to be very long. But you're not going to get me doing another sermon later on, don't worry. So I want us just for a moment to reflect on this passage. This passage was a passage which a few of us went to the New Wine Leaders Regional Conference a few weeks ago down in Bristol. And this passage was one that particularly resonated with us when a couple of people spoke on it down there. And I want to share some of the things with you that that resonated with us then. Because I think it's really relevant to what God is doing here and where we are at the moment here as St. Andrew's and All Saints. So briefly, let's have a look at the story. Some of you will be familiar with the story, some of you maybe not, but it's a story of Jesus calling the first disciples. Luke talks about Lake Gennesaret. Well, actually, that's Lake Galilee. It's just he calls it Gennesaret. And the disciples had been, they weren't disciples then, they were fishermen. They'd been out fishing all night, and it says they'd caught nothing. And they'd come in and they were fixing their nets, and Jesus comes along and he starts teaching the crowd. And you can imagine the crowd was probably getting so big that actually people weren't being able to hear what Jesus was saying. So Jesus sees these boats and he says to these fishermen, he says, actually, can I borrow your boats and can you push me out from shore? And you can imagine the scene that Jesus is sitting in this boat in the bay with all the people perhaps crowding around on the beach of the bay, and the quiet of just the lake meant his voice would have travelled really easily and they would have really heard him as he taught. And at the end of teaching, he turns to the fishermen and he says, I want you to go fishing again. I want you to push the boats out, and I want you to let down your nets again. Let's go fishing. And you can just imagine what those fishermen must have thought, can't you? Oh, we've just been out all night. We're tired. We want to go home for a rest. We want to go home and eat. We've caught nothing. What's the point of going out again? But they don't respond that way. They actually do go out again. And this time, the results is very different. They catch a miraculous catch of fish. So I want to ask the question. And the question is this, what was the difference? What was the difference when they went out in the daytime compared to going out that all night that they'd been out all night? You see, they had the same boats. They had the same fishermen. They had the same nets. They had the same bit of water, the same fish. But this time the result was different. What was the difference? Well, the difference was that Jesus was with them, wasn't it? That actually Jesus was in the boat directing proceedings. And you know, this is what God's been speaking to me about more than anything recently, is the important thing is in all we're doing that we're learning to have Jesus in the boat. We're learning to do this stuff, to do life with Jesus. You see, it's Jesus' presence that makes all the difference. We can work really hard on our own. We can do amazing mission stuff. We can slog ourselves. But actually, if Jesus isn't with us, we won't catch anything. Jesus' presence makes all the difference. At New Wine, just at the very end of the last session, I just went out for prayer. And just as I was standing there, I had a sense of God saying to me, what you've come here for, phase one is now complete. Now, Derek's told me earlier, some of us have, this is phase 30 for some of you guys, and it really is. But for me, it's phase one. And God says phase one's complete. The team is set up, the structures are in place. And I felt God saying to me, now go up into the watchtower and be with me. And listen to what phase two is all about. You know, when I came here, I knew what phase one was. I ain't got a clue what phase two is. And that's the exciting thing. But God says, go and be with me. go and dwell with me and listen. And let's do phase two together and I'll show you what it's all about. And I think the heart of all that we are to do is to simply be with Jesus, to be open to him, to be listening to him. And in Mark 4, when Jesus calls the disciples there, it's really interesting. It says he calls the disciples to be with him and to be sent out. But the sending out starts with the being with. And I'm going to really talk about this a lot deeper tonight. And I really have a sense that this God has given me this to really share, that this is really key for us as a church. So I really would encourage you to come to deeper tonight and hear me expand on this. But I'm not going to preach that now. And so Jesus was with them. And then what happens next? Well, actually, Jesus says, put out into deep water and let down the nets for the catch. And how do the disciples respond? If you've got your Bibles, they say this. They said, because you say so, I will. Because you say so, I will. You see, they listened to Jesus and they were obedient and then they followed his mission. And you know, this is our call. Our call is to be with Jesus, to listen to Jesus and then be obedient to whatever he calls us to do. Even if it seems like we've done it all before. That's what they'd have been saying. They could have easily said, we've done it all before, Jesus. We're not going out again. Sometimes in churches, we do things again. But actually, when we do things again at the right time with Jesus, we have a very different result to when we've done them before. And sometimes, actually, when it's a crazy idea that God gives us, we just need to say that. Because you say so, I will. You see, what we see here happening is the disciples joined Jesus's fishing trip. They didn't ask Jesus to join their trip. Jesus says, I'm going fishing. Will you come out with me? Will you join my trip? And I think that's a big message for us. I think that's what God's been doing. I think you just hear Eddie's stories, haven't you? And actually, Eddie's been joining Jesus' mission trip with the young people. And I think that's what God's saying more than anything is saying, stop trying to do your fishing trip and ask me to come along. But you come along on my fishing trip and just see what happens. And that's what we've been seeing the last few weeks. Sahar and Agavon, the Iranian girls, I'm now meeting on a Monday night with them and with a couple of others as well. God has brought people where he's already been working. We've done nothing. And God's brought people to us. And what I've sensed as that's been happening, I've sensed another phrase God give us. And that's God saying, I'm entrusting these special people to you. Because you're a church which is open and obedient and open to just follow me. I'm bringing special people and I'm entrusting them into your care. And our challenge is, do we follow that? Do we take these special people that God's given us and just do we walk with them and entrust them as God entrusts them into our care? I love what just someone said the other week about a guy called John Wimber. John Wimber was the guy who particularly kicked off a lot of the charismatic movement in the 70s. And at one point, actually, John Wimber was seeing some stuff happening in his ministry. But at one point, he says, actually, God said to him one day, he says, John, I've seen your ministry. Now I'm going to show you mine. God said, I've seen your ministry, now I'm going to show you mine. And I almost sense that's what God's saying to us as well, is saying, I've seen your hard work, I've seen your ministry as a church. And actually, it's not bad. And actually, there's a whole load of stuff going on, but actually, will you now let me show you mine? Will you now actually come into my fishing trip and join with me and see just what I want to do? He said, I think God's calling us to be a because you say so, I will church. He's calling us as individuals to be a because you say so, I will individual. Where we listen to God's voice and we just go on and join in with what he's doing. And then finally, what happens? Well, they got an amazing catch of fish. So big that they couldn't actually bring it in all themselves. And another thing just I felt God saying up in the watchtower last week up at All Saints is that I felt he said to me, actually, what we need to do is we need to build the structures that can withstand the harvest that's coming. I have a real sense that God's saying, actually, there's a big harvest coming and you haven't seen it yet. But build the structures and the stuff now, which is going to enable that harvest to be brought in. And I think a really big part of that is actually linked with this really key verse, which was picked up at the New Wine Conference, is what did those disciples do? Well, they called their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They couldn't bring it in all themselves. They called the partners in the other boat to come and help them bring in the harvest, to bring in the catch. And I guess the question is, who are the other boats for us? Who are our partners in the other boats? Well, the obvious thing is actually the other churches, isn't it? And particularly All Saints. It's amazing, isn't it, to see what God is doing with us as All Saints and St. Andrews as we just work more and more closely together with the youth ministry, with Deeper, with the waiting room, Holiday Club, Octagon, all sorts of stuff. God's also just connecting us wider with all the churches in Malvern with things like Thy Kingdom Come prayer that we're going to do in the Priory this summer. Marquee in the Priory this summer. With CAP, look at what God's done with that. As we've said, actually, let's do this together. But also the challenge from the New Wine Conference was to say, what about if the other boats aren't just about other churches, but they're about other organisations as well? Eddie mentioned the PSO. PSO? PCSO. Coming in, helping them. But what's PCSO stand for? Police Community Support Officer coming in and helping at the Octagon there. What about the town councils? What about working with the schools and not saying, actually, you come and join our mission, but us going and joining their missions and seeing what can do with us? I think there's a real challenge for us. Who are our partners? Who is God calling us to partner with? And so where's God leading us this coming year? Well, there's a really key phrase which I sense God has given me, and that is this one, that we are called to learn to live ordinary lives with God. Ordinary lives with God. That's what God has been doing in my life over the last few weeks, particularly. And that, again, I'll unpack that at Deeper tonight. Some of you might remember my icon from my time at St. Bino's in July. And Neil is going to be giving a testimony tonight, Neil Hornby, about his time at St. Bino's a few weeks ago where he had a similar experience. It's worth coming to hit Deeper just to hear that. But I love this phrase, learning to live ordinary lives with God. And it reminds me of a verse in Acts chapter 4, which we're going to look at a bit more next term, which is when Peter and John had just healed the lame man outside the temple. And they'd been arrested and were in trouble and hauled up against the authorities. And one of the guys there said, there's this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note of these men, that these men had been with Jesus. You see, there's that sense that when we learn to do the ordinary lives with God, God will do the extraordinary through us. But what does it mean for each one of us to do ordinary, live our ordinary stuff with God and then just see what he's going to do with it? And at the heart of that is actually about prayer. And I want to really draw us back to really focus prayer in the coming year. And what we've done is a few of us have been working on this little prayer card this week, which we just about got printed in time. Which hopefully you've all been given one of, and we've got 500 printed, so go and take some for other friends who aren't here. But we've come up with a very simple prayer, which we've particularly tried to say, what is it specifically that God is asking us this year to specifically pray for? And it carries on the theme of the Faldebrennen blessing prayer, and here it is. So in the name of Jesus, we bless St. Andrews and All Saints and all the other churches of our town, our partner churches. What's that we will encounter the transforming presence of God more deeply. That's that actually that we'll learn to be with Jesus. That more than anything, we'll learn to encounter and we will encounter Jesus' presence more deeply. And then particularly, and this is why I wanted the young people in here today, actually, I just have a real sense that God is saying, actually, we need to specifically be praying for our young people because God is doing a big thing with our young people, as we've seen. And I think God is raising up our young people to lead us in God's transformation. I think God's going to do with the young people stuff first, and actually then the rest of us will get carried along with that. And that's what I am praying at the moment. And that's why I've specifically put young people in here. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that we don't value old people or middle-aged people or everybody else. But I think God's specifically calling us to pray for an outpouring of his spirit on our young people at the moment. So that they can be the pace setters for us. And I was really struck by Joel, that passage from Joel 2, which is quoted at Pentecost, where it says that Joel 2, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. And then what are the first two lines it talks about after that? It talks about my sons and daughters will dream dreams. And my young men will see visions. The first two lines it talks about are our sons and daughters and our young people. Right in Joel 2, it starts with our young people. And I think God's starting something with our young people today. So will you join me in praying specifically that God would pour his spirit out on our young people so that they can just shine for God in their friends, in their families, in their schools. And then also just praying for the community, that we're praying blessing on our communities, that they'll flourish. This is our strapline, praying our strapline, that we'll see flourishing, that people's hearts will be softened to receive the love of God. And finally, that we'll learn what it means to walk with God. So that's the prayer on the front, which I'd love you to go and take that, put it up. Take two, three if you like. Stick one up on your bathroom mirror. Say it in the morning. Stick one up on your fridge and have one in your Bible. But on the other side too is, and just this is sort of the Thy Kingdom Come stuff as well. I'm really encouraging everybody to write down who are five people that God's specifically calling us to pray for this year. And I'd like to challenge the adults. Will you make one of those one of our young people? And if you're not sure about any names, go and talk to Eddie and say, Eddie, who can I pray for? But will you make one of those one of our young people to pray for? It'd be lovely if actually all our young people were prayed for by us adults. And young people, will you pray for one of us too there? And also pray for three places or three mission areas that you would love God to bless this year. So I really encourage you to take that away. Prayerfully work out what are you going to pray for in the coming year? And just keep that somewhere where you continue to say that prayer, continue to pray into that. And maybe in your life groups, actually, every time you meet, say this prayer. Every time you meet, actually, perhaps break off in twos or threes to pray for the people that you've written on here, that you're sharing the joys of when we see God doing stuff in their lives. And just let's see what God does. Let's come back in a year's time and just see what God has done with these prayers. But I think that's where he's calling us to start, to be really specific in our prayers. And finally, the verse that I put on my reflection in the annual report this year was this one. A few weeks later, the verse that was painted on the side of the youth room, and that's it there, by Imi, who's the youth worker at the Priory, was this one. Perhaps God's telling us something, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That's what it's about, to actually join in with Jesus' fishing trip and actually allow him to lead us.